This morning, we'd like you to look with us at Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20, where the psalmist said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." In the New Testament, we read the story of a man who was born blind. And Jesus healed him. Now, this notable miracle was spreading throughout Jerusalem, and people were talking about the blind man that could now see. And they were seeking to sort of debunk the miracle because many people were believing in Jesus as he manifested this kind of power. So they came first to the parents of the blind man. And they said, "Is this your son?" "Yes." "Was he born blind?" "Yes." "How is it that he can now see?" They said, "Well, why don't you ask him? He's of age." For the Pharisees had already determined that if anybody ascribed any power to Jesus, they'd kick them out of the synagogue. So they came to the man that was born blind. And they said, "Were you really blind?" He said, "Yes, I was." He said, "How is it that you can see?" He said, "Well, Jesus touched me. He opened my eyes." And they became angry. And they said, "You know, we can't accept this. We don't know this man from whence he is." And he says, "My, that's interesting. You don't know where he comes from and he can open the eyes of the blind? Don't you think you better take another look at him?" For he said, "We know that God does not hear the prayer of sinners." Now, many people have taken that to be gospel truth. God does not hear, they say, the prayer of sinners. They quote the saying of the blind man. But notice it has been quoted out of context. The blind man said that as he was declaring to them a truth that they believed. And yet, that is not something that God has declared or that Jesus declared. It's just the word of a blind man in an argument that is being recorded for us as he was in this argument with the Pharisees over Jesus. It is true that there are many prayers that God does not hear. It is also true that there are cases where God indeed hears the prayer of sinners. Let's look at those conditions and those situations where God does not hear prayer. First of all, we realize that if I am to pray, the most important thing is relationship. Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven.'" The "Our Father" indicates relationship. I can come to God and can only come to God as I am in a relationship with Him as my Heavenly Father. The son or the daughter always has the right to go in to the Father. Also, in these cases, grandsons and granddaughters, but God doesn't have any grandsons or granddaughters, but I was thinking how my office is sort of an inner sanctum, and you have to come through the secretaries and so forth to get in there. With my busy schedule, it's not always easy to have access into my office. I just am limited in the amount of time that I have. And yet, my grandkids come in at any time. They just make themselves at home in there. And they say, "Hey, Grandpa, I need $20. I need to go to the high school banquet," you know. Relationship, it's a glorious thing. To have a close relationship with God is a wonderful thing. To know God as a loving heavenly Father, to be able to come to Him at any time as a son. Prayer. Relationship. They go together. But sin breaks the relationship with God. John said, if I say I have fellowship with God, I have a relationship with Him, and yet I am walking in darkness. John said, I'm really lying. I don't know the truth. Here David, or the psalmist, said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's say that I have received a speeding ticket, but I know that the officer cannot prove the speed that he put on the ticket. Now, it was correct. I was going that fast, but I know he can't prove it. So I'm going to go and fight the ticket. And I'm going to deny that I was going as fast as the ticket says, because I know the officer can't prove that. And so I'm planning really to lie to the court and let them and declare to them that I wasn't really going as fast as the ticket declares. Now, for me to pray and say, "Now, Lord, be with me today when I go to court. Help me, Lord, to convince the judge." You can see that if I'm regarding iniquity in my heart, the Lord wouldn't hear me when I pray. How could I ask God to bless a lie that I'm about to tell? I think that many times we pray for things that we really, if you think about it, shouldn't be, you know, praying the way, I mean, when we were in seminary, on the way home from school at night, many times we would stop by the store, get a half gallon of vanilla ice cream, get a can of chocolate fudge, get a bananas and whipped cream and almonds, and we would, you know, fill the bowl with the ice cream and dump everything on it, and then someone would say, "Well, who's going to pray?" And I say, "You got to be kidding. How could you possibly ask God to bless this to your body? You know it's not good for you. You know that we're just porking out. So if you want to thank God for it, that's fine, but don't ask God to bless it." If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me. If I am planning some evil, if I am living in rebellion against the Word of God, that sin in my life will hinder my prayers from being heard. In Isaiah 59, the prophet declared, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It isn't a matter of God being deaf. It isn't a matter of God cannot hear your prayers. He will not hear your prayers, because that allowed, tolerated sin in your life has broken your fellowship and your relationship with God. At this point, prayer becomes deceptive. For there are many people who are living in sin, rebellion against God, and they sort of console themselves by the fact that they say, well, I still pray. When in reality, your prayers are just really meaningless at that point. They aren't being heard. They're just vocal expressions of words that are going nowhere. I had an uncle who was a blasphemous alcoholic, to be perfectly honest. And I used to witness to my uncle about Jesus Christ. And he'd say, well, Charles, I say my prayers every night, son. And he thinks because, you know, he says, now I lay me down to sleep every night, that that's going to cover for all of the sin and the evil in his life. And so I feel like I'm okay because I still pray every night, you know, before I go to sleep. I say my prayers. But prayer at that point can be deceptive. Because if I'm regarding iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 28:9 declares, he that turneth away his ear from the law. If I'm turning my ear from God's law, it says, even his prayer shall be an abomination. The prayer itself, which is probably one of the highest acts of spiritual worship, can be an abomination if in my heart I've turned away from God, from the law of God. I'm in rebellion against God. And it's tragic that people find condolence in the fact that they are still praying when at that point the prayers are meaningless. Another case where God doesn't hear prayer is given to us by Job in chapter 27. He had been accused of being a hypocrite by his friends. And Job said in verse 8, for what hope is there for a hypocrite, though he has gained when God takes away his soul? I mean, you may be a hypocrite, you may be very wealthy, but when God takes away your life, then what hope do you have? Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? And so he indicates that God would not hear the cry of a hypocrite in the time of trouble. Jesus over and over accused the scribes and Pharisees of being hypocritical. In fact, he sort of made the word hypocrite synonymous with them. He said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And he just tied their names with hypocrisy. And indeed, they were. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypokritis, which is a Greek actor, the one with the big face, the mask, and they're acting, and there are people who are acting as far as their Christianity is concerned. It's just a big put on. It's a big act. They're putting on a false face. And so Jesus, in talking of the Pharisees and their hypocrisy, speaks of the hypocrisy even in their prayers. And he said, their prayers shall not be heard. He talked about the one Pharisee who in his prayer was just giving before God, self-adulation. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner, a robber, an adulterer, and so forth. Lord, I'm so wonderful, and I do all of these wonderful things. And the Lord said that God didn't hear him. Before I can have a really effective prayer life, something must be done about the sin in my life. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 11, he is talking to the nation of Judah, who under the reign of Manasseh went to the bottom. They were drinking the dregs of sin. The nation had turned its back upon God. They had begun to worship the pagan gods. They had gone to the... They were worse than the nations, really, the pagan nations around them. And in verse 11, the Lord said, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of the fed beast. I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or the lambs or the he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more your vain oblations. The incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, away with them, it is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands," in the supplication and prayer, they would spread forth their hands to the Lord. The Lord said, "I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. For your hands are full of blood. Wash, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease your evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land." But God is pleading with Judah. He is saying that their gathering together to worship him was worthless. He said, "Who asked you to come? You're so filled with sin and iniquity. I hate your sacrifices. I can easily do away with your false, hypocritical worship because of the sin that is in your life. Sin destroys your life. Sin will destroy your family relationships. But most of all, sin will destroy your relationship with God. James tells us in another thought that we have not because we ask not, and then we ask and receive not because we ask that we might consume it upon our own lust. There are many times that people are encouraged to pray for things that are just a part of their own carnal desires. We ask God for things that we might just consume them on our own carnal wishes. This is the error, really, of the whole prosperity doctrine, that name it and claim it. declaring that, you know, you can write your own ticket with God. You can have whatever you want, you know, and they are encouraging people to pray for every kind of carnal desire that they might have. And then they believe that their indulgence in their glitzy jewelry and their fancy cars is somehow an indication of their spirituality. How far that is from the truth. God will not hear our prayers for forgiveness if we are unforgiving. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us." And when he finished that prayer, at the end he emphasized that one petition. He said, "For if you will not forgive men their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses against him." If I am holding aught against you because of your $10 debt to me, how can I expect God to freely forgive my $10 million debt that I owe to him? The forgiveness, if I am to be forgiven, it's important that I forgive. Now, those are the cases where the scripture tells us that God doesn't hear us when we pray. So, does God then hear any prayer of the sinner? Let me first of all say that if God didn't hear the prayer of sinners, he wouldn't listen to anybody. He wouldn't ever hear my prayers, I'll tell you. For the Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Solomon said, "There is no man that sinneth not." And John said, "If we say that we have no sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. The truth isn't in us." David said, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." The 51st Psalm is the prayer of a sinner. It is David's prayer to God after his great sin of adultery with Bathsheba, which compounded in the murder of her husband. And David begins that prayer, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And we are told that the prophet said to David, "Thy sins have been forgiven." God heard the prayer of David, and God forgave him that heinous sin. God surely hears the prayer of every sinner that cries to him for mercy. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we looked at Isaiah chapter 1 and saw the condition of the nation of Israel under the reign of King Manasseh, as we go back in their history and we read about this wicked king, he was the son of Hezekiah. He had a good father, but he rebelled against everything that Hezekiah stood for. Hezekiah was a man who sought after God. Manasseh was a man who gave himself totally over to the flesh. Manasseh was about the most wicked king who ever lived. Surely he was the worst king and the most wicked king who ever reigned in Judah. The Lord testified of him that he was worse than the heathen kings that were driven out of the land before Israel possessed it. He set up a nude statue of Ashtoreth right in the temple And he also brought in the worship of the pagan gods within the temple precincts themselves. He profaned the temple of God. He had his own children sacrificed in the fires to Molech. He became involved in satanic worship, in witchcraft, in every evil, vile form of wickedness. And he caused Jerusalem to be filled with innocent blood. He led the nation into the pits of debauchery. And because of this, God promised that his judgments were going to fall upon Manasseh, and they did. The Assyrian king came and he captured Jerusalem and he took Manasseh and he carried him away as a captive to Babylon. He scourged him with thorns. And this horribly vile man, Manasseh, one of the most wicked men in scriptures, the Bible says that when he was there in Babylon, that he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry and set him free, and he came back and reigned again in Judah. I think that the Bible puts that example in there for us so that no matter how low you may have fallen into sin, you'll know that God is merciful because he saved one that who was far worse than you ever thought of being, King Manasseh. This guy is the classic example of the worst. And yet, when he cried unto the Lord for mercy, God heard his prayer. No matter how sinful you may have been, no matter what evil you may have done, the marvelous thing is, if you will cry to the Lord for mercy, he'll hear your prayer. Now, this is what the prophet was saying. Isaiah, when he was telling about how the people had gone down under Manasseh, he said, God is saying, come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. If we confess our sins to God, he's faithful and just to forgive. Jesus told this story about a rebellious young boy who came to his dad and asked that he might have his share of the inheritance. He left home, spent the money in riotous living until he was he just went out and blew the whole thing. And then he found himself destitute. He got a job feeding pigs. And he was trying to fill his own stomach with the food that he was giving the pigs. And he looked at himself there, you know, in the midst of the garbage, seeing what sin had done to his life, seeing what it had reduced him to. And the Bible says he came to himself and he said, hey, this doesn't make sense. My dad's servants have it much better than this. I know I don't deserve to be called a son anymore. I've really blown that, but I think I'll go back and ask Dad for a job. I'll see if I can be one of his servants. At least, you know, they eat regularly decent food, and they're living better than I am. And so he headed for home. And the Bible says, while he was still yet a far way off, the father saw him coming, came running out to meet him. And before he could get out the words, "Father, I have sinned," the father was ordering a party, demanding that the family ring be placed back upon him, that there be great celebration because the son who was lost is now found. The father heard the prayer. He was not restored as a slave, he was restored as a son. And some of you may have wandered afar off. You may have become involved in the dregs. But take a look at what's happened to your life. Take a look at the mess that you've made. But you know, in spite of that, if you will return to the Father and ask Him for mercy, He will hear your prayer. He will forgive your sins. He will cleanse your life. And He'll restore you into that relationship as a son. Yes, God does hear the prayers of sinners who cry out to Him for forgiveness, for mercy, for cleansing. Shall we pray? Father, we're so thankful today that You have heard our prayers and that You have washed us from our sin and that You have placed us as Your sons, where we now have this beautiful relationship as the Son to the Father, where we can come freely anytime to let our request and our needs be made known. Father, I pray for those whose lives are messed up today because of sin, those who have strayed from the straight path, those who have turned aside after their own way and have been caught in the snare, and whose lives today are all messed up. Oh God, help them to call unto You for mercy, forgiveness. For we thank You, Lord, You will hear those prayers, and You will be merciful, and You will forgive. Because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, whom we love. In His name we pray. Amen. I guess the question really is, do you think God is hearing your prayers today? Only you and God know that. If you're a child of God out of fellowship regarding iniquity, David said He won't hear you. If you're living a life of hypocrisy, Job said He won't hear you. If you are unforgiving, Jesus said He won't hear you. But if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. He will hear, and He will cleanse. Maybe today your life is just a real mess. You're doing things you never dreamed you would ever do or could ever do. And yet there you are, caught. I want you to know that God will hear your prayer if you ask Him for help and forgiveness today. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask God's strength. He'll lift you out of that pit. He'll forgive and cleanse. God does hear the prayer of sinners if it's the right prayer. May the Lord be with you, bless and keep you in his love as you walk in fellowship with him this week through our Lord Jesus Christ.